May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I'm kind of hanging out, trying to hear the Lord about which one of these words I'm going to share. So I'll just do this one and the other one tomorrow. That can't be too disobedient, since I don't know. This is from chapter 17 of 1 Kings. I've been asking the Lord this week, Luke, I'm supposed to go to Washington on Thursday, come back on Saturday. And I've been asking the Lord what to do. Luke told me earlier in the week it might snow. And then, so I just said, Lord, speak clearly for me. And I think they can go, but I can't afford to get stuck there. So my last report I read today, it could possibly be 3 feet on Friday. So I think God's speaking pretty clearly. I'm going to say, I'm beyond the age where 3 feet of snow is exciting. Now Elisha the Tishbite, who is of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, and it's really a prophetic decree, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. So God was using him. He was participating in God's purposes. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens, which were unclean animals to the Jews. I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in morning and bread and meat in evening. And he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him and told him to go somewhere else. It's time to move. And the next place he went, God used him to raise the dead. There's a lot of stuff in this passage of Scripture I've heard so many people preach. I've preached a lot over the years. But one of the things that God's always ministered to me in the Scripture and in counseling situations, I've shared this with lots of people who are walking through something that's very disappointing or hard. This is a real practical word. There are places in 2 Thessalonians, the last chapter, and it says, may the God of peace grant you peace in every circumstance. That's both an exciting word and also a very convicting one, because that's God's purpose and that's what he has available to us. He owns all the peace. All peace comes from him, and he was willing to grant, it's a gift, it's grace, peace in every circumstance. So if he's got all the peace and he's willing to grant it and we're not walking in peace, it's not his fault. There's also a place in Philippians where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, for the Lord is at hand. My joy is in the fact that God's still in charge. He's still available, all the things that go with that. And so often the Lord has done in my life, he'll expose, God's so awesome and he's so creative. Like in Jonah chapter 4, I think, is it 4? Jonah have 4 chapters? And so it's chapter 4. Because Jonah was not happy with what God had done. He didn't want the people of Nineveh to be redeemed. He wanted God to destroy them. And yet God was just looking for repentance from them. And when they repented and they came to the Lord, it made Jonah mad. And so he went off and pouted, asking God to cause him to die because he didn't get his way. Things didn't go the way he thought they should go. And he complained about being so hot. And so what God did, in his brilliance, he raises up this rubber tree plant, or some kind of plant, and he does it supernaturally. It just grows up and provides him shade. And now he's happier. And then God raised up a worm, and the worm was a really hungry worm, and it ate the whole plant down, and then Jonah wants to die again. And what he's trying to expose in Jonah's life is your joy and your peace is totally dependent on things going your way. It's not about your way. And you see, that's how to live in defeat. Because we do live in a fallen world, and the enemy does stuff and people do things. There's free will. And if my happiness is dependent on things going the way I wanted them to, I thought they should, where it felt really good, you're in trouble. You're going to rarely walk in victory. And as hard as it is to imagine, it's really about unbelief. And connected to unbelief is rebellion. we rebel. We don't like it when God does stuff because we really don't believe what he's up to is better than what I would do it. Because you remember, we're subject to a fallen world again. There's a real enemy, but God's still Lord. Devil's not Lord. He's Lord. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a plan, because that's what it says in Scripture. Even Jesus' life was governed by predetermined plan. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It's all God, just God. Doesn't mean he initiates everything. Doesn't mean everything is good, but doesn't mean he causes all things to work together for good in this war that we're in all the time. And so the Lord will allow things to happen, allow us to experience warfare, to expose those places in us that are still full of unbelief and rebellion. Thus, back to the story that I read. He gives this decree, it's not going to rain, and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. That's a long time to not rain. But God tells him, go to the brook Cherith. The word Cherith means to be separated. Go separate yourself, and I'm going to feed you. I'm going to minister to you. There's a brook there. You can drink from the water. And I'm going to raise up some unclean animal, a raven, to bring food to you day and night. Well, then after a season, the brook dries up. And then God speaks to him about, God used that to move him to another place where God did even more in his life, where there was even increase in anointing. You ever had a brook dry up? You ever had something go wrong? Some situation, some circumstance, some relationship just kind of not do well? And that really wasn't what you were praying for at all? But you have to understand, Elijah was a prophet, and prophets know what to do. Prophets are people that are in this session. You know, when God gives me a word about national events or something, I just don't give it, then I'm called to pray. Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations, never traveled outside of Israel. He prayed those things. When God gives you a word, you pray them until you see them. Anyway, that's long. We don't need to talk about that. But what do you think he'd been praying for? That word he had decreed would come to pass, that it wouldn't rain. Well, you know what happens to brooks when it doesn't rain? They dry up. And so in the end, his brook dried up because he had been praying for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in the land and in his life. So, let me just warn you. You ever prayed one of those silly prayers? Oh God, I want to know in my personal experience the fullness of Christ. I want you to freely live your life through me without any hindrances. I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And God said, oh yeah, okay, I'll answer your prayer. You'll drop a brook. You'll drop a brook. You'll drop a brook to expose those places of rebellion and unbelief. And he wants you to see that he even feeds us with unclean things. Things that happen that don't feel very good. That it appears the enemy's in charge. That stuff's going on that I don't like, didn't really want. But in the end, it was because I prayed for this prayer about God's purposes and fullness in my life. And he wants us to respond to him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't say most of the time? Or when it appears like God's winning? He says, rejoice in the Lord always because God is at hand. It ain't about the devil being at hand. He's not the winner. He's the loser. Even when we pray for people who are sick, we know it's the work of the enemy. We know it's part of the fall, but God's at hand. He's the issue here. God's bigger than the devil, right? So we pray for victory in that because we believe God's at hand. Amen? But that's true in every little detail of life. Because you see, God knows that if we'll get it, if we can trust him there. You know, if you don't get, let's use this, you don't get blown away by the cancer, and we're growing in this place, and we go after the cancer because God's at hand. Or if some situation goes on and we can't control, that's painful, that's difficult, that's confusing, God's at hand. It's happening in my life because I've prayed this prayer. And he's trying to teach me to be fully, totally yielded, not just when things go my way. Because if I get it right there, It's meant to propel me to the next place in the Lord, where there's a greater anointing. Amen. You hear me?
Yes.
Because we're walking in a greater level of faith and surrender than ever before. Alrighty. Actually, I took both those words. No, I didn't. I still got one for tomorrow. That's good.